Tuesday. Tuesday, April 30th. We had a record amount of rain in April. Okay. You know what we didn't have? Which is not uncommon. Snow. We didn't have snow this April. I think it was two Aprils ago. We had a very mild, calm winter, but we had, I think, our biggest or one of the two or three biggest snowstorms of the season in April. It was at least 4 inches, and it was in April. So I think we're out of the woods. You can thank my dog. You can thank Andre. Some people have their their groundhog. I have Andre's allergies. Will Doritos turn the election? I'm going somewhere with that, and I will actually apologize if I can point myself out getting something very wrong. I will apologize for it. First up, so I've got this new vehicle. I have insurance on it. I drove it to work yesterday. Some people were wild. They're like, oh, you're making good money, man. It's a 15-year-old Lexus. Everybody calm down. There's also 174,000 miles on it. I don't know if I have driven 174,000 miles in my driving life, which is now 45 minus 16. Is that 29 years? I got my license shortly after I turned 16. There's 7,500 miles on my Murano in 14 or 15 months. So for the 10 years I've lived here, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, most of 18, I lived 500 feet from work. Now, when I'd have to run errands, I'd go up to Monroe or something like that, or down on Route 20. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, now, about a 4 or 5 mile ride to work. I just don't put a lot of miles on cars, and that's why I got a 15-year-old car. But I don't know if I've put as many miles in my driving life on that this car has. This is a sad story. Hopefully it will turn out okay, but it's one number and it struck me. Police crews found a one-year-old girl unresponsive in the grass. The 37-year-old grandmother told officers they were having a get-together, and she believed the toddler may have ingested an unknown amount of marijuana edibles. The child was transported to the hospital and is in stable condition, and Children's Services and the police will investigate. 37-year-old grandmother. It was 2015 or 2016 on the old show where we sought to find the youngest grandparent we possibly could. And I think 37 was the youngest number. Now, I do my best to back up things I say, opinions, whatever they may be, with some kind of fact, statistic, a piece of data. You know me with the roundabouts. You might think people are going faster, but they're not. The data says otherwise. This is not data-driven. This is simply observational. It seems like there are more great-grandparents alive than ever before. That, I think, you can kind of make some sense out of. There are ways for people to be healthier and live longer than ever. There was something that I read within the last year or so. It sounds redundant, but it actually makes a lot of sense. The longer you live, the longer you'll live. The longer you live, the longer you'll live. Like if you get past a certain point, like you make it out of your 60s and early 70s, you're probably going to cruise into your 80s and maybe even your 90s. So I'll say it again. The longer you live, the likely the longer you'll live. Means if you've made it to one tent pole, to one point on the course, you're likely to keep going if you've passed that challenge. So that makes a lot of sense. But there also seems to be more younger grandparents than ever before. It's always kind of odd when someone will call the radio station and win, and I get their birthday. Or they say, yeah, I won it for my granddaughter or something, and I get their birth date, and they're 3 years younger than I am. Now, I know I'm an anomaly with no kids at my age and so little of so many other things. 40s grandparent, I guess my age to upper 40s, that makes sense. Younger 40s, 37-year-old grandparent. And so I think that there are more great-grandparents than ever before, and there are more younger grandparents than ever before, which I guess strikes me as a bit odd. I didn't do the math on this, but the 90s is when we had a lot of teen pregnancies. And I guess if I do the math here on the back of the napkin in my head, you extrapolate that out, and those kids that were 16, 17-year-old parents, 25 years later, are 42-year-old grandparents. Or I don't know if there's anything to support the fact, well, you had a kid at 18, so your kid's going to have a kid at 18, so then you're a 38 or 39-year-old grandparent. Again, I have nothing to back that part of the thought up. I was wrong. I thought that the narrative about the economy and good feelings would crest late summer, early fall, take us into the election and make it an easy win. We went backwards a little bit last month with some higher than expected inflation, but more people are still spending and fueling money into the economy. And I was wondering, I haven't seen anybody come up with a reason as to why that is. Are the people that have money still spending it and firing? And this has nothing to do with prices being higher. So it didn't make a lot of sense. I guess just people who have money, people who have a lot of money, are continuing to spend. So that's why there's money going back in and spending is not down. It's up. Some of that, I think, was people spending on credit cards, people going into debt. They use their savings, they're going into credit cards. But I read something that said there are just, and this makes the most sense, there are more people for a longer period of time since like the 60s who are employed. And they might not be making what they'd like, even though supposedly real wages have really, really jumped in the last couple of years. But with more people than ever for a longer period of time working, especially a lot of immigrants, so there's just more people spending money in the economy. That makes sense. So as we stepped back last month, and I still don't think that the Fed has done, their raising interest rates has done nothing but give people a hard time buying cars, or houses. I think people who wanted to cut back on spending did so because prices were so much higher. And I still don't think any politician, any government can really jump in on that. That has to be to the consumer. If it's too much, stop buying it. If you stop buying it, maybe the prices will come down. I mean, there is two sides of supply and demand. And if we pull the demand down, there'll be more supply. Prices have to come down a little bit. But I wonder, when I go to Kroger typically, and I go into the middle aisles and I see the prices of some things. My friend who works for Frito-Lay, I always text her what I see for cost of bags of Doritos. And there's some specials, like you buy three or buy four and they're $2.29 each. But one bag, which is smaller than what I remember, not a family size, definitely shrinkflated, like $5.29 for a bag of Doritos, even the bag that it's in. Maybe it's safer or better for the environment, but it feels flimsier. $5.29 for something like that. When I have had discussions online before about prices people are sick of paying, it continues with junk food. I can't believe I'm paying X, Y, or Z for, you know, a 6-pack or a 12-pack of soda. Well, you don't have to buy that soda. Like, as we've kind of established, a lot of the junk food is what has skyrocketed in price. My chicken, if it's expensive, it's $2.99 at Kroger. If it's on sale, it's $1.99. And I grab a couple of them. Fruits, vegetables, they're all seemingly back down. Sometimes strawberries are $4.99 for the thing. Sometimes they're like 4 for $5 at Monette's. So the things I buy have settled. I wonder if will still be, or as they call it, the inflation will be sticky or unpredictable. I wonder if people will make their election decision September, October, because their goddamn Doritos cost $5.29. Because people buy a lot of junk food. And when you buy it a lot, when you buy it often, instead of having the gas prices that's in like 500 font, most reasonable people know that that's going to go up and down and that the president doesn't have any influence on that. It's so many other factors. When you're in the supermarket every day and you're buying all the stuff in the middle aisles and you see how expensive it is, and yes, I'm distilling this down to something very trite and simple, people might be making their election decisions based on junk food. He is anything but junk. He is, I fail to think of many people who are better human beings, better for our area, than this person. So let's dive into a conversation and get some more detail about this rec center that's coming to the Vistula area across from Glass City Metro Park with Matt Killam from the Metro Parks. Let's welcome fellow podcaster, part-time radio host, but more than anything, Toledo's best friend, Matt Killam.
How kind.
That's what you are. I need that name to stick. Yes. Toledo's best friend.
Not as desperately as I need it to stick.
We'll start a campaign of some kind.
Sure.
Because one day I will find somebody
who likes me.
No.
Who recognizes my name.
The opposite. That doesn't like you and will curse your name.
Sure.
Now, maybe you have disposed of these people, but I've never met anybody
We talked about not talking about the people we disposed of before we got on.
Yeah, they're long gone. But you're Toledo's best friend. Everybody loves Matt Killam.
I'm lucky to live here and serve Lucas County and Toledo more specifically. So
what is your official role with the Metro Parks?
They like me to not be around.
Partially employed guy.
That's right.
Is it outreach coordinator?
I am the chief of outreach.
Okay.
So essentially, I get to participate in everything that's public facing for the park system.
You came today to talk about upcoming spring and summer things?
Yeah, man. I guess if we were, like a baseball team or a
season preview,
we would be open for season here in short order. So yeah, we're talking about that. Although we're almost entirely year-round now, which was asked of us by Lucas County, the weather gets nice, and we will certainly see an influx of not only stuff that we're executing, but people in the park. Not executing people in the park. That's probably an important
No. It's a simple Freudian slip for bad Matt Killam.
That's right.
As we chat here on Tuesday, April 30th, off the top of your head, we'll leave Biggest Week in Birding alone for a second.
Okay.
It's April 30th now. What's the next big event coming up? And then give me a timeline as we go through spring and summer.
Sure. The Glass City Metro Park kicks off its season here in a couple weeks. So that's the next thing. The splash pads turn on. We're already sort of nibbling at open up roller skating, but that will be in full tilt here in short order. And that meant, Eric, not for nothing, but as you know, as someone who's lived in Northwest Ohio for long enough to be a real resident and borderline native, it's usually a hard, long winter here. So our season opens up when people really start getting out and walking. You know, we've got 200 miles plus of trails. So our season is getting the drinking fountains turned on, the trails ready for the influx of people, and the bathrooms clean, getting our seasonals on path for everyone to come out. But we do have our normal allotment of specific things, right? So we've got our great big expo, which happens at Sidekai, which is our first park. That will be in relative short order. That's where we show it's a try-it day. So we get somewhere between 3,000 to 5,000 people, depending on the weather, to come out and see all of our programs. And they're all adaptable, meaning no matter what your skill set is, certainly, but also if you have any challenges from an accessibility standpoint, you will be able to participate in what it is we offer. So the expo is a big thing. We've got summer.
What are those things that people can try?
Yeah, archery, kayaking. We've got tree climbing. We've got slack lines. We've got everything down from an educational standpoint to skulls and pelts, right? Which is sort of a time-honored tradition because we are duping people into learning and caring more about the ecology of Northwest Ohio. So that's our dark secret. Don't let that out. So if we do it, you can participate at the expo. So it's got to be like its seventh year, and it's getting busier and busier all the time, and it's great. We love having it in Maumee, not for nothing, but it's nice to celebrate what you do at the park that started you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's big doings. We've got stargazing. We've got all kinds of things that people can expect, and probably some new things that we'll be releasing later in the summer to keep people sort of interested in what the park has for them.
Any other large marquee events to look forward to spring and summertime? Or did you just give the tease for that?
Yeah.
Sit around and wait?
So we've got Jazz in the Garden, which is at the Botanical Garden. That is 20 plus years, but it is just an absolute staple. We're working with the city and the Great Lakes Jazz Society to execute what I think will be their third downtown jazz event. So that's a giant, at least to our standards, concert series. We've got Poco Piatti, our partner at the Garden, that's going to be experimenting with new menu items. I think they're going to be introducing ice cream with another local partner. We are plugging right away at having a pickleball facility, which is a family entertainment center on the Vistula side.
Can we talk about that?
Sure.
First of all, and this is not one of my cynical doubts. This is not, I don't think something shady is up.
Sure.
Not some kind of clandestine cult.
Boy, this is a tough setup here.
I know that pickleball has become very popular.
Yes.
I have just never come across any human being, whether it's like in real life or on the internet, of somebody going, let's go get some pickleball in today.
Yeah. So actually, I have to admit in full candor, I've been surprised. You know, I've only been really in the parks business, air quotes, 4 or 6 or 7 years. And pickleball was certainly popular then, but I sort of assumed it would be a bit of a fad. It isn't. There's not only are all the courts full in our area, but there's no place to participate in it 365. So, first of all, the pickleball building is certainly a pickleball facility. You'll have 14 courts and also be able to house regional tournaments, which there isn't another place to do in our area. But it's really a family entertainment center. So it will have good, inexpensive food. It will have 50 to 70 jobs that it creates. There are things from shuffleboard to a small climbing wall. It's something for people to do to live in Vistula. I had the opportunity to visit a larger concept in Kansas City, Missouri, called Chicken and Pickle. It is exactly what this is designed after.
Chicken and Pickle?
Yeah, so it's fried chicken and pickle.
I like it.
Right?
Can you start at the beginning of this? Because there's a lot of people who don't know about this, and I think this is a really, really big deal. Everybody is expecting things on the east side of the river where things are growing and building and connecting and blah, blah, blah. But this kind of came out of nowhere. You guys got an empty building that's on the west side on the river?
Yeah, it came out of nowhere from a public standpoint, right? But as you know, probably more than most, that the Glass City Metro Park phase one has been open since 2020. We opened phase two, which has the skating ribbon and things like that, about a year ago. But the reality is that's just 70 acres of what's going to be a 6-mile river walk, which is a loop from Anthony Wayne Bridge to Craig Bridge on the west side, from Craig Bridge to Anthony Wayne Bridge on the east side, right? So we've already seen 500,000 visits just to those 70 acres, and we knew that it would be popular, but admittedly, Eric, we didn't know it would be this popular. But that's just a little piece, what we've activated. The rest of it is up to the community to tell us what they want to see there. So we knew that the streets and harbor building was something that we were going to either have to demolish or find some purpose for. It's a giant structure. It's about 40,000 square feet. And frankly, Eric, it's like the equivalent of where we used to store our salt, right? So no other city would store their excess salt on riverfront property. And probably no other city, too. And again, this isn't a criticism, would have a utility garage on riverfront property. And we thought about knocking it down, frankly, and make it green space, but what if it could be something greater or better? So this family entertainment center is something that we saw conceptually all over the country that cities that we aspired to be like had. So why not us, right? And we don't want to be in the business of running a business. Our business is planting trees, clean water, and making the trails safe and clear, as we articulated at the beginning of this, right? So what we did was found an operator, well, who in their own backyard here is a nationally reputable restaurateur, right? And they can also, by extension, run a pickleball space because it's what they know. We don't want to be in the business of that. So what we do is we partnered to build out the facility, and we get a share of the profit that will pay off our expenditures, as well as have a capital fund for us to not only help for programming in the area, but natural resources. So yeah, the riverfront itself, the community decides what it wants to be. So
will this kind of be like, there used to be a Y there that is now a TPS building. Is it going to be kind of like a urban air sky zone meets a Y? Because when I was reading what was envisioned, you mentioned some of the things. Thank you for having shuffleboard for old people like me.
That's right. Yeah. It's good for your hips.
Actually, you can gamble on it if you're really good. Never mind. Birthday parties, restaurants, and I envision like when we were growing up, like Ohio skate kind of things. Not that they'll be skating, but like just a playland for people of all ages.
That's essentially right. So, and again, that's just in that building, right? The rest of it surrounding in Vistula will be park area. So you'll have our playgrounds, our well-manicured open green space in that building will be just as you articulated. There will be pickleball, certainly, but there'll be other things for families to be able to do. And Vistula is our first neighborhood, so not only do they deserve a place that's fun and cost approachable, but we want there to be opportunity in all around the Riverwalk for employment and for kids and families to have something positive to do year round.
Yeah. Right?
Go ahead.
I think also on that list was they wanted to do some type of like small, intimate concert venue. I don't know what the number was, but maybe they're just throwing things against the wall, which I'm totally for.
Yeah, I think that a lot of places, you know, that want to be a one-stop shop will have somebody playing the guitar. We have a great, you know, collection of local artists here. So somebody playing a little music while people are playing pickleball or kids are having a birthday party or people are climbing a small climbing wall, right? That it's an atmosphere that they want.
What's climbing wall music?
Almost all Godsmack. Okay. It's a mashup. I do the mashups myself. It's Taylor Swift and Godsmack.
Yeah.
It's going to be the next big thing.
What's good pickleball music? Is that like Lil Jon stuff, like hype things in between the points?
That's right. Lil Jon actually is one of the part owners.
I bet Lil Jon has a pickleball team because like Tom Brady, LeBron James, they all bought into this.
When I think of celebrities, I think of three people. LeBron James, Tom Brady, and Lil Jon.
You should.
They're on the Mount Rushmore.
You should.
Of culture. You don't have to tell me. I have my grill in right now.
It looks good.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Did I also see that they are aiming to have, I'm assuming if everything goes as planned, this thing could be open October, November?
Well, that is wishful thinking.
Okay.
And we only work with people who want to deliver in immediately, right? We want people playing and eating there and working there this year. So we've got a pretty aggressive timeline, right? It's not easy to work with two municipalities. The city was really helpful as they've continued to be with all the Riverwalk work. So absolutely a nod to the current administration and city council. They've been great to work with, as has the county. We all want this to work, and it is, right? So we've gone, Eric, from selling a vision to renderings and the buildings going up to now we've seen the return in terms of the bodies. So right across the river from where this facility is, again, we've had 500,000 visits. 20% of them have been from the 05, and the rest of them are from all over Hell's Half Acre, which is exactly how we designed it. Mm. It needs to serve the community and also be a place for people to want to visit to participate in.
So if all things lined up, this thing could and should be open by the end of the year.
Absolutely.
What kind of costs will be associated with this? Is it like a membership type thing? Is
there'll
it free?
There'll be some membership, yeah. There'll be free kids programming for sure, which is one of the things not only did we want, but they wanted as well, right? That's one of the reasons why they were the partner that we wanted to work with. There'll be a membership component. There'll be, you know, court access in that way. But everything the Metro Parks does has to be accessible to everyone in the community. So that's one of the things that we had worked out. But we didn't have to force them to do it. This is the kind of community group that we want to. And frankly, this will sound trite, but it's true. That's what you find in a small town or a medium-sized town, right? By and large, it's people who want to do for the better. And work for all, and that's exactly what this concept will do. And that's just a little piece of what's going to be a giant refresh of the entire Vistula side. So what it looks like today, you can look across the river and see what it's going to look like tomorrow, and we're going to be able to deliver it.
Does it have a name?
The pickleball facility?
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say I don't know. I think right now it's Toledo Pickle, okay. Which is, you know, fine. And charming. They're the branding and their marketing savvy, so it will probably be something close to that. But yeah, again, that is, we're not in the business of that. What we want people to do, just like with Elias and our friends at Poco Piatti, they're exceptional, and they do that. We just run the park outside of it.
Mm-hmm. What did you learn from the first full year of Glass City Metro Park and all of its programming?
What we found out was that this works.
Yes.
Right? I mean, brother, I wish I could tell you that it's exactly as we forecasted.
Can I tell you that I'm not shocked at all? I mean,
okay.
This was, people were craving something like this.
I know, but we of course thought so too, but not to this degree. I can tell you, not to let everyone behind the curtain, because we are a well-organized machine, but within the first 2 weeks, we had to have a giant meeting. Like,
there's like oblique moment.
Right.
I get it.
In a good way, right? I mean, we knew it'd be busy, but I was like, we need, and not me, I mean, much smarter people than I. Our operations team is exceptional, but they're like, we need to move this up. This is way more bodies than we were anticipating.
This is not a criticism of where we are. It's sure. just my observation. Food trucks here.
Yeah.
I mean, people go bonkers for
bonkers.
And I don't know if it's like this in other places, but I know in other big cities that I've lived in, food trucks were all, when I went to Temple University,
yeah.
I ate at food trucks.
Sure.
But when food truck culture took over here, first of all, it made a lot of people a lot of money.
Yeah.
And some of these food trucks have legions of fans,
right.
and they will or won't go to a certain place because of a particular food truck. And if people are going nuts over, you know, really good $12 burgers or whatever,
sure.
and they can't wait for the food truck to post their schedule, for what you put out there, yes, there is going to be a descending of droves and droves of people.
Yeah, I can, again, this isn't right, wrong, or indifferent, but it is still surprising to me the love affair Toledoans have with food trucks, and I'm for them, right? By and large, what a wonderful opportunity, and it does provide an augmented experience, but people are insane. No matter what it is, they're like, hey, are you having an event? You should have food trucks. Have you planned your wake yet? You should have food trucks. I'm like, God bless it, man.
I always joke about our out of the darkness walk. Like, it's grown, which I really wish it wouldn't, but I wish all walks would go away, because then we will have cured every malady. I've been like, hey, we're like a 3 food truck walk now.
How
this is a big
it?
Deal.
Yeah, that's a new echelon.
We don't have any of the heavy hitters, but we're up to 3 now.
I love it. Yeah, that's exactly right.
What else is down the line, whether it's summer or fall or anything like that with the Metro Parks?
Well, 2 things from an ecological standpoint. We're just closing down like heavy, heavy walleye season, and we're walking into birding week, right? So, I mean, millions and millions and millions and millions of warblers are on their way through here. So it would be irresponsible for me to not mention the fact that, hey, this is a globally great place to live in terms of the ecology, right? So there's no other walleye capital of the United States. There's other places that have a walleye run, but we are literally the largest accessible place to fish. And these birds come through here and only here. There's a lot of great things to be proud of in Toledo. Our art museum is great. Our zoo is great. The mud hens are great. Our library is great. The art commission is great. The imagination station
food trucks.
Is great. There's an endless amount of food trucks, so that's right. But no other place has these things, and we don't have to engineer it. They're coming. So
right.
We'll have, I don't know what the last numbers were, 70 billion people walk through here or whatever it is. But it's staggering the amount of little birds that are on their way.
I think, I don't know if it's people or birds or a combination of both.
It's easily confused.
Like 80,000 are on the way, and this has always like struck me when I first saw the sign go up. I guess it was in 2021 outside of Swan Creek, and it says welcome birders.
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm pleased that phonics class you're taking is working.
Thank you. Yes. Yep. Well, that you expect birds to be able to read that is kind of a misstep by
the
Metro Parks.
Real big.
I know it is.
So,
but I don't think they can read English.
Oh, you're kidding me. Shoot.
All these birds are coming to rest and mate here, and people come to watch them. And I know
they play Al Green at night in all of our parks. We're making memories, Eric, and that's just one of them. Yeah, 70,000 people, I think, is the number that they are quoting, and I bet they get every bit of that because it's decentralized too, right? Pearson isn't necessarily right in the path of totality for warblers.
There we go.
Yeah, right? Is it too late to use that? But we see a giant influx. I know this makes it ages it, but today the 30th, it's beautiful outside. You can already hear the difference from the bird from the amount of birds outside today.
Maybe you know this.
Probably not.
No, you do, because I mean, you do work for the park system, but
what food truck do birds?
hopefully, there's no bird-centric food trucks. You will offend them.
Yeah, you're right. I apologize on behalf.
My dog started going nuts with his allergies way earlier than
Your
usual.
Your dog has allergies?
He does.
Get out of town.
Super bad ones.
Oh, gosh.
Scratches like crazy. In fact, he scratched so much like he has a cauliflower ear. Unless he was wrestling that I didn't know about.
He was a high school wrestler?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you do for the allergies?
They give him a shot. He just scratches. And when that happens, that's like some people have the groundhog. I have a dog. His allergies started going nuts, and I kind of perked my ears up. I'm like, you know, the birds sound different.
Yes.
I know that some people are upset. We had a record amount of rain here in April, but you know what? This is not do you know what snow that would have been?
Totally.
We get snow in April here.
So I moved, I don't know, maybe 19, something like that. I was packed up and ready to move. And it was all my old security guys were going to come help. And I was sitting there. It was the day before we were supposed to move. And I said, why don't we just do it now? And my wife at the time said, well, isn't it supposed to snow? And I was like, how much can it possibly snow? It's April. Well, the answer to that question, Eric, was it could snow 11 inches. I got the last box.
When was this?
In it. 2019, okay. 16, 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there. Anyway, to your point, we usually get one monster snowstorm at the end of April, which is just backbreaking, not just physically, but mentally. And you're like, okay, I don't have another one of these in me.
Yeah. I think it was 2 years ago. We had our biggest storm of the year sometime in mid-April where we got like 4+ inches.
Yeah.
So this year I will take all the rain to get ready to go into spring.
Yeah.
Last thing or so, we touched on it a little bit. How are the
5'11"?
5'11"? That's how tall you are?
That's it. Yeah.
How are the parks?
Just globally speaking?
No. Locally, globally speaking. Like you mentioned Sidecut with all the things happening there. These places aren't being overlooked as more and more people go to some of the newer things, correct?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we are still the gold medal recipient from the National Parks and Recreation Association. You can only go for that every 5 years, right? So we have a unbelievably specific and scrutinized financial plan. So I could bring an Excel sheet in today and tell you when we're going to be replacing a Jeep that's in Providence Metro Park. So before we set our sails on this project, we absolutely had to have everything dialed in because we never start a project at the detriment of something else, right? So like we talked a little bit today, having the expo at our first park is just a reminder that we are standing on the shoulders of what brought us here. And the downtown park does get attention, right? Because it's new. But 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we built three bridges. One not far from where we sit today in Swan Creek, right? One out in Waterville. And one we replaced at Wildwood, which was the original Stranahan wood that we were pulling out. I only make mention of that because we are constantly not only building based on what the community asks of us, but repairing and planning to repair what we have and what was bestowed upon us in terms of responsible recipients of a 96-year-old institution. So you're absolutely right. Do we have ice skating now? Yeah. Someone else runs that, but we do have it. But the trail that runs from Providence to Farnsworth, being the towpath, is still in as good a shape today as it was when we first started taking care of it. And that is what we are really about, Eric. It's about clean bathrooms, trails, and
and food trucks.
And largely food trucks. That's right.
I think it is vital, though, for people to know, because how many ever people go through Glass City Metro Park, it's likely at all the other ones that aren't as new and shiny, there are many more people going to them. And for people that will maybe never go to it because they don't have a family, they just love walking Swan Creek or wherever it is, I think it's important for them to know that you are good stewards of the county money and there is upkeep in those places.
Yeah, I mean, the message that resonates the most is we have a park within 5 miles of every Lucas County resident. That lands because proximity is how people live their lives. We're creatures of habit. We live our lives. We live, work, and play usually within 5 miles of our doorstep. So my first promise is to taking care of that park. And then the other things come secondary.
Last thing, and I want to get this on the record.
Oh, God.
As ProMedica has endured financial troubles, they were arguably, and Randy Oster, the former CEO there, had the vision to do what has happened downtown to get people into the steam plant. And then that was kind of the center point of this halo explosion that we see now. You can fall over and fall on any kind of hamburger or beer and some coffee because of what they started. But now there's financial issues. And thankfully, the Metro Parks is there to continue this circle from Middle Grounds to Glass City to what's going to be in Vistula and all the way around. Because if not for what you're able to do, and granted, it's supported by voters in the city and all that stuff in the county, if not for you, it wouldn't be where it is right now.
A couple of things. That's a good point and a complicated answer, as most things that are a big global scale are. So we wouldn't be downtown and celebrating the success without ProMedica's assistance. So right off the rip, they and Randy and that whole team made this happen. You know, we are... The Riverwalk itself is a three-legged stool. We did ask the taxpayers to to fund half of that development, but the other two pieces of the three-legged stool we earn, meaning through state and federal dollars, and our foundation earns from private donation. So there's a lot of great things happening downtown. A lot of that is thanks to ProMedica, but they're not the only game in town, right? So we got to keep moving forward.
Yeah, but right now I would say that the Metro Parks is doing the heavy lifting. So take the compliment.
Yes, well, we're lucky to be a part of it. This is a great place to live.
And we're done.